This week's parsha, this week's portion of the week, Kedoshim, whatever they spoke, this time, 9 years ago, a talk on the parsha of Achrei and Kedoshim. And at that time, the Rebbe addressed the issue of the term Geula. The Hebrew word that we use for redemption is the word Geula. And the Rebbe addressed the significance of the term Geula. And we know, according to Hasidic teaching, we know that the name of something in the Hebrew language, that the Hebrew language, the holy tongue, is the language of creation. And the name of something, as it appears in Torah, defines the very essence of the thing which it names. We find throughout the Torah many different terms which refer to redemption. But the primary term which we use, and particularly when we're talking about the ultimate redemption, the primary term that we use is the word Geula. And we have to understand, in order to appreciate what true redemption is, we have to understand why this word and this term defines redemption, and particularly ultimate redemption. The Rebbe explains that the word Geula contains in it the word Geula with the addition of the Hebrew letter Aleph. Chassidus, it's brought that the word for redemption contains within it the word which means exile, Geula, with the addition of the letter Aleph. And the letter Aleph represents Alufay Shel Olam. We find that Hashem, that God, is referred to as Alufay Shel Olam, the master of the world. So Alufay Shel Olam, by adding the letter Aleph to Geula, it spells Geula, which means redemption. And redemption is the basic ingredients of redemption. Our exile plus the revelation of God, of Alufay Shel Olam. The question is, how does this define the concept of redemption? Most people, generally, we understand the way we perceive the concept of liberation is that a person finds themselves in exile, a person finds themselves exiled to a foreign place, to a place which is not their true home, a place where they can't behave, act, conduct themselves according to their true will. And liberation means to be able to leave that place, to go away and to leave everything behind. So the concept of Geula, the concept of redemption, when we say that redemption is composed of exile plus the revelation of God, what we're saying is that true redemption, true liberation, does not mean to leave everything behind and leave one's old situation entirely and go into a whole new place and a whole new situation. But rather what it means is that everything that a person is involved in, and everything that is part of a person's life, should itself become liberated and redeemed. Itself should become elevated and liberated. So the Jewish concept of Geula, and particularly as it relates to the ultimate Geula, the ultimate redemption, is not a form of redemption in which we leave our previous situation and we run away, so to speak, but rather that everything in the world should become elevated, everything in the world should become redeemed, and this is brought about through the revelation of godliness within those very things which previously were confining and constricting and imposed an exile upon us, because those very same things previously served to conceal godliness. By revealing godliness in all of the areas and things that we were involved in throughout exile, the exile itself becomes redeemed. And in fact, we find that the Rambam Maimonides, in his laws pertaining to the period, to the era of the days of Mashiach, the Rambam says that you should not think that when Mashiach comes, it means that the whole world is going to change. The Rambam says that Yishana Dovah Mimin Hagashalelo, that the world will continue as normal, in its normal mode, and everything will stay the same. The difference is that everybody will study Torah, everybody will serve God, even those nations of the world which previously opposed the Jews will no longer do so, and in fact they too will turn to serve the one God. The question, however, remains that this scenario of the Rambam, in which the world continues as normal and the only change is that we're able to perceive the godliness within the world, and therefore everything in the world begins to fulfill its true godly purpose. The problem with this scenario is that we know that this is not, that within redemption itself, this is only the first era, the first period within redemption. We know that within redemption itself, there are included aspects which are definitely a breakthrough in terms of the normal mode in which the world operates. We know that there will ultimately be a resurrection of the dead. We know that many miraculous events will occur. So this description of the Rambam, according to the way we just explained the concept of redemption, but when we talk about redemption, Geula is an all-inclusive term which includes these later developments as well. So we still need to understand, how is it, first of all, why is it that it is this idea that is the defining concept of redemption? And also, particularly, how does this term, this all-inclusive term, also relate to the period in which the world will not continue as normal? And there will be many miraculous transformations in how the world operates. So in order to understand this, the Rebbe prefaces by quoting a Mishnah in Avos, in Ethics of the Fathers, in which it says that a person should look at three things. A person should look at three things, and by focusing on these three things, he will avoid sin. What are the three things? A person should know from where they came. A person should know to where they are going. And they should also know before whom they are going to have to give an accounting and a reckoning. The question, however, is, why does the Mishnah mention a number? Why do we need to know that it's three things? The Mishnah should simply say that a person should focus on where they come from, where they're going to, and before whom they will give an accounting and a reckoning. Why does the Mishnah mention that these are three things? Obviously, it's not to help those of us who have problems with basic mathematics. Obviously, there's a deeper moral lesson to be learned from the fact that our sages emphasized that it's three things that one has to focus on. So the Rebbe explains that there is a deeper meaning and significance. And the Rebbe explains as follows. A person could perhaps think that the only thing that's truly relevant to them in life is themselves and the Eivishter, themselves and God. Those are the only two things that are relevant to a person's life. And a person who seeks, a spiritual person, a person who seeks spirituality, a person who seeks to reconnect to his divine source, will focus entirely on his spiritual relationship between himself and God. What our sages are trying to teach us is that there's a third component in terms of a person's divine mission on this world. We're not just here to focus on and develop our relationship with God. It's not the only thing that we're here for. Because the truth is that when the soul existed in the spiritual realms, its relationship with God was far deeper and far more intense. So if we were sent from those, if a soul was sent from those lofty spiritual heights down to this lowly world, a world in which the divine presence is concealed, what we have to know is that the soul has a mission down here. That the world also plays a role. There's a third component to this triangle, that the world is not something to escape from. The world is not something to run away from and just to cling to God. But rather, the world is something that we have to be involved in and with, because we have a mission to accomplish, which is to transform the world itself and make it a suitable dwelling place for God. As we know, that the ultimate purpose of creation, as defined by the sages, is that Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu Liyaslei Yisbarach Dira Batachteinu. That God wanted and desired to have for himself a dwelling place in the lowly realm. That God wanted that there should be a physical world, and that a soul should descend into that physical world, a world, a lowly world, which its lowliness manifests in the fact that godliness is totally concealed. And in fact, not only is godliness not obvious and manifest, but there are even forces which oppose God and godliness. And to take that world and transform it into a place in which divine revelation can be open and revealed and manifest, to use the words of the sages, a dwelling place for God. And what, therefore, our sages tell us that it's fundamental that a person focus on three things. A person's focus has to be that there are three things that within the context of their relationship to God, they also have a divine mission. And that is the purpose of their existence down here on this world. When a person has that type of focus and sees everything and experiences everything in life in the context of that divine mission to transform the world and make it into a godly place, to utilize everything within the physical existence for a godly purpose, when a person is completely focused on three things, on their divine mission, then Eina Topoli De Avera, then a person will not come to sin. Whatever says the term used, it could say in the Hebrew, it would be proper to say Eina Topo La Avera. You will not come to sin. Why does it use the term Liyadei Avera? The Rebbe explains that this means that if a person is truly focused on their divine mission and sees and experiences everything in that context, they will not even come to the possibility of sin. Not only will they not actually transgress, they will not even experience the possibility of transgressing the divine will, because they are completely focused on their divine mission and see everything in terms of its godly potential and its godly purpose. And through this process, of taking the world and transforming and making it suitable and a hospitable place for godly revelation, then through this we will experience the ultimate revelation, which is the revelation of God's infinite light in this physical world. As the Alter Rebbe defines in Tanya, what is the ultimate significance of the Messianic era and the resurrection of the dead? The ultimate significance is that it is through these events that God's desire that His infinite light be revealed in this physical world will manifest through these events. So therefore, when we say that Geula is the revelation of God within the exile, within the confines and constraints of the physical existence, we are not only referring to that period in which nature will not be changed, in which the world will continue as usual and the only transformation will be a spiritual one, but this also ultimately includes the later period, which will affect a transformation within the physical, because ultimately the purpose and the process is the revelation of God within the physical world, which is the revelation of the Aleph within the Gaila, within the confines and constraints of the exile, the revelation of Alufa Shalelam, the revelation of God, the Master of the world. This being the case, if this is so, that the whole purpose and the whole process through which we achieve that purpose is the revelation of God within the physical. So if we are going to say that we're living at a time where that process is playing out, then obviously we have to see certain changes within the physical reality. Because if the whole point of redemption is the revelation of God within the physical, then if we are living through the redemption process, then obviously what is happening is that the physical is being transformed. And therefore we should be able to observe within the world manifestations of this godly transformation within our physical existence. So for example, one of the things that should be happening is that the world itself, which previously worked to conceal godliness, and the peoples of the world, those nations that previously worked to oppose the divine mission of the Jewish people in this world through oppressing and persecuting the Jewish people and making it difficult for them to carry out their divine mission. If we're truly going through a divine transformation, then one of the things that we should see is that those same things in the world and those same peoples of the world, instead of opposing the process, if this transformation is really reaching its climax and its conclusion, then they should actually be helping and assisting in the process, which would express the fact that the world itself and the peoples of the world itself have become transformed. So the Rebbe says, the fact is that if we look around, we see that that is exactly what's happened. For the first time in our history, the Jewish people find themselves free, almost the entire Jewish people. There still may be a few isolated pockets, but for the most part, the entire Jewish people finds itself under governments that treat them kindly, and allow them the freedom to observe and practice the Torah and Mitzvahs. This is a uniquely new phenomenon. In fact, it's only about 10 years old. At the time that the Rebbe said it, it was even more of a novelty, because it was only about 1 or 2 years old. And in fact, what was new about it at that time is that a country in which a very large percentage of the Jewish people resided, that it for 70 years had opposed any expression of Jewish belief and practice, and opposed the most extreme penalties, that same country also granted the Jewish people the freedom to practice freely and openly. And not only did they grant them the freedom and no longer oppose them, but that government, the government of Russia, actually was providing assistance for Jewish people to emigrate to the Holy Land. In fact, the law in Russia till this day still does not permit emigration at will. Russian citizens cannot just decide to leave. The only people who can leave freely are Jews who want to go to the Holy Land. And not only can they leave freely, but the government itself provides assistance to allow those Jews who want to leave to leave. In place of the tremendous opposition and roadblocks which existed previously, and a person even so much as applied for a visa to emigrate to the Holy Land, he knew that he would immediately lose his job and spend years being intimidated and persecuted and often imprisoned simply for making the request. And today, not only does the Jew have the freedom to leave, but those same forces which previously opposed the Jew are now providing assistance to Jewish people to leave Russia. In fact, one of the big problems they have is that there are many non-Jews who pretend to be Jews in order to get out. That's how extreme the situation has gone from one extreme to another, that there are people who have one, where Jews who lived in Russia, did everything in their power to hide the fact that they were Jews in order to avoid persecution, in order to avoid discrimination in education and in jobs and so on. Today, you have many non-Jews who are pretending to be of Jewish extraction in order to be able to leave, in order to get the benefits of being a Jew that other citizens do not have. Similarly, the Rebbe says that an event which took place particularly at that time, but today it's become a more or less commonplace occurrence, is the fact that this country, the United States of America, had sent troops the military out to the Middle East in order to help the Kurds and who were being persecuted by Saddam Hussein in Iraq, in order to help those Kurds, many of whom, whose houses were destroyed and were suffering from cold, lack of shelter, lack of medical supplies, lack of food. So the United States military airlifted supplies and personnel in order to help these people out. So the Rebbe says, here you have a unique situation that a country uses its military might, its military hardware, in order to go help out people on the other end of the world who are in need, to whom they have no relation, to whom they have no real political use for them, and yet we airlift And it's something that all Americans appreciate. It's not just, it wasn't just a decision of a few people. It's something that all Americans are proud of. The fact that their country goes to travel spots around the world to help out people in need. And sometimes even before those people request aid and assistance, our government is ready to go and help those people out. Similarly, the Rebbe says, but at that time, then President Bush gave a State of the Union address, which was focused almost entirely on the subject of education. The Rebbe says, this is again a unique phenomenon, that a president should come into office and announce that he wants to be known as, that he wants his legacy should be that he should be known as the education president. And then, already 3 years into his term, his State of the Union address focused almost entirely and in great detail on the areas in education which need improvement. The Rebbe says, by Jewish people, this is not new. Helping out those who are less fortunate than themselves, even those who are not immediate relatives, focusing on the education of youth, these are things that are not new for the Jewish people. This is something that's in our tradition from day one. What is new about this is that traditionally the way governments interacted with each other was in a totally selfish way, and sometimes often a brutal and cruel way, looking for opportunities to conquer and take from others, not looking for opportunities to go and offer aid and assistance to others. So what the Rebbe says, what we are witnessing in our time is this actual transformation of the physical reality before our very eyes, that the physical world and its physical inhabitants are actually becoming transformed and are all loudly proclaiming the fact that they are becoming ready and are assisting in the process of bringing the world to ultimate redemption. The Rebbe says that the truth is that if a person would pay attention to the things that have become are transpiring through divine providence each and every day, tug teglach. The Rebbe says each and every day there are things and events occurring which express this idea. So if we would pay proper attention to what's going on around us, we would actually realize and appreciate the fact that it's not just these few examples. Very often people will say to me, okay, one example, two examples. Even though by calling it two examples, you make it sound smaller, the fact is that these examples are talking about major superpowers. The examples themselves are speak for themselves. But the fact is that the Rebbe says that it's not limited to these few examples, but the fact is there are events occurring daily, and this is 9 years ago, if you do the math, and the events are occurring daily, 9 years later, we're talking about quite a few events that are daily occurrences which express and this concept that the world is ready, and not only ready, but working and assisting the Jewish people in their divine mission of transforming the world and bringing about the ultimate revelation of the divine presence in this physical world. Just to illustrate with the most current events,